Hello, and welcome to Liberty Presbyterian's podcast. I'm Pastor Becky, and along with Pastor John and Pastor Kyle, I pray that the message and the music bless you.
Well, a few weeks ago, I went to go and see a new doctor for a routine appointment. And of course, a few days beforehand, one of the assistants in his office called and gave me the long list of things that the doctor wanted me to bring with me to that appointment. You all know this phone call, right? Okay. Well, I show up at the appointment with a shopping bag and a file folder full of all of the stuff that they'd asked me to bring. And the doctor walks in the door, and he takes a look at the bag and the file folder that's sitting on the table next to me. And he says, "What's all that?" I said, "Well, it's all the stuff that your assistant asked me to bring with me." And he looked at me kind of funny, and then it turned into genuine shock and surprise. He said, "And you actually did it?" And I said, well, yeah. Said, "Do you not need me to?" And he said, "No, it's great. I'm just not used to people following my instructions." Well, it turns out he has right to be suspect. The AMA did a study recently and found that 20 to 30% of all prescriptions are never filled. Half of all medications for chronic conditions like heart disease, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, asthma, are not taken the way that doctors instruct their patients to take them. And of people who do actually take the prescriptions that their doctor gives to them, they only take half of the doses that doctors prescribe. Now, all of this lack of instruction following results somewhere in the neighborhood of about 125 deaths each year. It's responsible for 10% of all hospitalizations. And the best estimates that we have indicate that it costs anywhere between $100 and $300 billion each year. He had a right to be suspect. Now, it also turns out that one of the best ways to make sure that a patient takes their medication the way that they're supposed to is as simple as asking them one question. Do you want to get well? More than 200 separate studies have found that by getting patients to verbalize that they want to get better and verbalize their reasons for wanting to get better significantly increases the odds that a patient will stick with a treatment program. And that's what we read about today. That's precisely what Jesus does with this man at the pool of Bethesda. And it is exactly what Jesus does with each one of us. He asks, "Would you like to get well?" So let's listen now to God's word from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry your sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk." "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd, but afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well. So stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules, but Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, for he not only broke the Sabbath, but he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. Well, this week we're continuing on in our sermon series, Knowing Jesus in the Gospel of John. 2 weeks ago, we began by talking about how Jesus is the one who makes God known perfectly, completely, definitively. That by knowing Jesus, we come face to face with God himself. And last time, we talked about this nighttime conversation Jesus has with Nicodemus, where Jesus says that he has come to give us a new life. And that when we come into relationship with Jesus, we receive a life that is so new that the only way it can be described is that we have been born again. And then we come to this week's story. Jesus has come to Jerusalem for an important Jewish festival, and he stops by a pool called Bethesda. It's a word that means house of grace. And the waters in this pool of Bethesda were thought to be able to cure any disease. Now, this pool was surrounded by five porches and would have stairs that led down into the water. And on occasion, no one knew when, the water would bubble up. And it was thought that the first person into the water, after it bubbled up, would be healed of their disease. Now, incidentally, and this is free, you don't pay extra for this, the reason that the National Institutes of Health are in Bethesda, Maryland, is because of this story. Well, Jesus comes across a man who's been sick for almost a lifetime, 38 years. And Jesus looks at him and he simply asks, "Would you like to get well?" And at this point, we see a pattern that is repeated over and over again in John's gospel. John is using images like thirst and water, birth, wellness, health, bread, you name it, to describe the reality of the new life that is on offer in him. And people don't get it. Chapter 3, Jesus is talking with Nicodemus and describes this new life as like being born again. And Nicodemus is sitting there wondering how it is a grown man is going to get back inside his mother's womb. Chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman at a well, tells her that she is deeply spiritually thirsty in ways that only he can satisfy, and offers her streams of living water gushing up to eternal life. And the woman responds by saying, the well is deep and you don't have a bucket, so where are you going to get this water? I mean, I think she thinks Jesus is talking about indoor plumbing. And then today, Jesus asks the man if he'd like to get well, and the man responds that he can't get well because he doesn't have anyone to put him in the pool. The health that Jesus is offering him, the wholeness that Jesus promises him, is so much more expansive, so much more complete than anything that he can comprehend. It's so much better than anything that he could dream of that it doesn't even compute. And therefore, he says that he is beyond hope's reach. Sick man thinks that Jesus is talking about healing him, when Jesus is in fact offering to save him. Now, let me ask you a question for a second. How many times have I come face to face with the grace of God in Jesus Christ? Come face to face with the offer of a new life that is infused by God's presence and fueled by God's power and is flooded by God's grace, and said, "No, because what's on offer is better than we could even dare to hope for. How many times have we answered Jesus' question, do you want to get well, with I can't? Because we can't imagine that God could be as good and as gracious as the God we see in Jesus. And just so that we are absolutely clear that the reality of God's grace in our lives does not depend on our ability to understand it or even know enough to ask for it when it stares us right in the face, Jesus says to the sick man, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And instantly the man is healed. See, Jesus speaks new life into existence with the same creative force that brought the world into being. The same word that gives birth to creation at the beginning and declares that everlasting life has been achieved for the world speaks new life into existence right before our very eyes. And it is still happening today. Before we even know that we need it, before we even know that we want it, Jesus seeks us out and gives us his life-giving, healing grace and pours it into our lives. Now this question, do you want to get well, doesn't end at the pool. Because once Jesus takes a hold of our lives, he doesn't let go. Once we drink deeply from the well of God's grace in Jesus, nothing else really satisfies in quite the same way. The man is now healed. He has been made well and complete and whole by God's grace. And once again, he meets Jesus. And Jesus says to him, now you are well, so stop sinning. See, Jesus reminds him of the reality of grace in his life, and he calls him to live in light of this new reality. Because the healing doesn't stop at the pool. Jesus is out to heal all of it. See, when Jesus asks us if he wants to get well, he isn't asking us if we want to experience just one moment of his grace. He isn't asking us if we might be satisfied just dipping our toe in the water, so to speak. Instead, he's asking us to submerge ourselves in the healing waters of his life. He doesn't just hold out the promise of new life as some dream that might exist out there somewhere. He calls us to live it out right here and right now. So that by living out this new life, we might have a day by day, moment by moment experience of his grace. And just as he did with the man in this story, Jesus comes to each one of us and says, my grace has taken hold of you. I've made you well. Never forget the moment we met. Never forget how my grace has saved you. Because it's the most important fact of your existence. Now, live so that the world can see the possibility of this new life by living out the reality of my grace with every ounce of your being. See, Jesus is calling us to a wellness that is bigger and better than we could possibly imagine because he's offering us new life. A new life that is available right here and right now. A new life that is saturated with his grace. So friends, do you want to get well? Let's pray. Gracious God, help us to see that the promise of new life, the promise of grace on offer in Jesus, is bigger than just a moment. It is in fact bigger and better and more satisfying than anything that we could possibly dream of, anything that we could dare to hope for. And that you give it to us because you love us. Help us to see that and to believe that and to take it on for ourselves. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.